Thank you. Our first Bible reading is taken from Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 to 11. When you have entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in, take some of the first fruit of all that you produce from the soil of the land that your Lord God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord our God that you have come to the land that the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians ill-treated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, give me. Place the basket, the Lord your God, place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all good things the Lord your God has given you and your household. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning second reading comes from Luke chapter 4 verses 1 to 13. That can be found on page 1030 of your pew Bibles. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so well, Caroline on the piano. Thank you, Claire, for that encouragement that the congregation should pray for their vicar. That's a good one. Certainly underline that. I remember one dear friend of mine, elderly gentleman by the name of John. He's died and gone to glory. He always used to say he prayed for me and countless other ministers on Saturday evening because he felt that's when they were hurriedly preparing their sermons. This one came together somewhat earlier in the week. But indeed, we all need to pray and reflect so that we don't waste our time, and that God speaks to us. And I guess my prayer has been, unlike the wind that's blowing today and will rapidly kind of blow a leaf or a piece of litter from one place to another, it's all too easy to hear God's word and then for it just to be kind of blown away. And in fact, Jesus told a very parable about that. Satan can come and snatch the word away and it's just kind of forgotten. Before I pray, perhaps this is a helpful illustration from the language of what's written in the Bible that's there for our encouragement, for our learning, to help us be better people, to glorify God. That's to say, everything that the devil and Satan is referred to in this passage, coming to that in a moment, is predictable, it's the same, it's boring, it's unoriginal. Everything God does is creative, it's kind of new, it's surprising. So in the scriptures it says, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing." That's a work of God. The scriptures speak of Satan, on the other hand, as, well, we're not unaware of his schemes. In other words, they're predictable, they're the same. It just happens that way. So by way of stillness and prayer, can I encourage us all to be quiet and still in the Lord's presence, to pray, and as we pray, to reflect perhaps on what particular struggle, temptation or test or difficulty we might be facing at this moment. Perhaps it's this day, perhaps it's this week, perhaps it's a year, perhaps it's even longer than that, or perhaps your concern for someone else who is enduring a test or a struggle. This, I hasten to say, and we will get on and pray in a moment, is not a guilt trip. For remember that Jesus was fasting and was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and all that time was tempted and tested. He did no wrong. So there's nothing wrong with the struggle or the temptation or the test that you're facing. The question, of course, is it held before God in prayer and met with his help? So a few moments quiet and I'll lead you in a prayer and perhaps focus on that issue that only you know you are facing. Grant to your people, Lord, in your love, grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh and the devil, and enable each one of us and those we pray for to be your faithful soldiers and servants to the ends of our life. For Jesus' sake, amen. I have to confess, I'm not sure whether Luke chapter 4 is part of our sermon series on Luke or whether it's part of the Church of England's reflection on our period of Lent that we've been led in already, but nonetheless, it's there with us today. And part of Luke's writings, of course, which is both the Gospel of Luke and the history letter of Acts, contain certain teaching and theology around prayer, around the Spirit, about the vision of God. And interestingly, Luke uses all those terms in lots of interchangeable ways. He likes talking about the blessing of the Spirit and the vision of God in the humdrum, tough places of life. And here we have Jesus, who is the focus of attention, and he's in the desert, as we've said, for 40 days and 40 nights and fasting. Luke bookends this particular section of his writing to say, it's all about the language of what the Spirit is doing. And so if I may, my first P, there's a number of P's to think on today, the purpose of testing and trial or temptation, and that is an appropriate word to use. Satan is predictable and boring, that's his job, he tempts people. And he was doing it to Jesus, as we've said, for 40 days. And 40 nights. But Luke says there's something going on. This is the purpose of these trials and difficulties. Verse 1, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. There you have the Spirit. And it's the Spirit that literally, in the Greek, it's ekbalo, kicks Jesus into the desert. All of a sudden, this has come from nowhere, and he's jettisoned like an ejector seat from a jet out of the pilot's seat into midair. It's a shocking trial and temptation that's going to last. Maybe some temptation has happened to you that seemingly has come from nowhere. But actually, it's under the providence of the Spirit who's led him into the desert. Then notice at the end, this is the other part of the bookend of this particular reflection that Luke has of Jesus in the desert. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. So during that time of testing, Jesus is without sin. There's nothing wrong in being tested and tempted. You're not a bad Christian. In fact, you're probably a really good one if you are tested and tried and tempted. And the more severe that is, I would suggest, the better Christian you are, if we want to generate a silly league table. But we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, who under the Spirit is into the desert, and then, wait for it, while he's in the desert, what happens to him? Of course, he's without sleep, he's hungry and tested. But he comes out of the situation stronger in the power of the Spirit. And those are two different words. Full of the Spirit, he's there in the desert. And there with great spiritual power and vigor, he is in the Spirit and with power. I guess in terms of popular psychology, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. But spiritually, the purpose of testing, temptation and trials is to generate within us spiritual power. Massively counterintuitive. It's not kind of, I need to prepare for this, I need a holiday. I need to get rested and refreshed. I need to kind of limber up and be okay about this. Spiritual work, the renewal of our humanity, the way we're shaped, is actually sometimes through difficulty, trials, and temptation. So another verse of Scripture has, no temptation or test has ever seized you except that which is common and ordinary to humankind. It's all been seen before. And our Lord Jesus Christ is receiving it now, and as we'll see later on, profoundly for us. So the purpose of testing is that we might gain spiritual power, be better Christians, be more rounded and secure human beings. We will pass through these difficulties with Christ, strangely, and it's very hard to say if you're in the middle of it now or hear it, the better for it. One dear friend of mine, I might have told you this before, collapsed with his head in his hands in the middle of a stairway, just not knowing how to cope. Cried out to the Lord and said, why? What am I to do with this? And the audible voice to him, he's a fine Christian man, a very able preacher and teacher with a distinguished worldwide ministry. The Lord said to him, ask me in 5 years' time. Sounds cruel, but it helped him through that time of difficulty. The pinch points, that's the second P of this desert experience, is of difficulty and of struggle. Rather than look at each of these temptations in turn that Jesus faced, but they were for the whole of his humanity, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, it got to him in tiredness and in difficulty. A few years ago, I heard statistically that the medical profession are saying that 1 in 6 people will face a profound period of emotional distress at one point in their lives or another. Now, alarmingly, that statistic has gone up to 1 in 4. Chances are, statistically, we will all go through it seriously at one point. We need to pray for people during those times of testing and trouble and difficulty. Perhaps for us day to day, it's on the milder side. But what for you is your desert place where there is a difficulty? And we should recognize that whether it's Satan that is directly responsible for this, or whether it's the desert situation we're in, we could well, at that point, be led astray. How much more do we need to hold on to the fellowship of God's people, and what we'll come to in a moment as to what Jesus drew down on, the perspective of God's word during these situations. Just because you're facing it, it certainly doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Curiously, you might be in the right place to find the renewal of spiritual power and energy from the Holy Spirit himself. And so how does Jesus deal with this period of testing that's for his renewal of spiritual power? He's in a desert place that will look different for each of us. Sometimes I reflect that the hardest thing is not fasting or being without, but sometimes the temptation comes when you literally have too much. You can be tempted to let things go, to not live appropriately. It's predictable. It's boring. Someone of great means once told me, and through all that I've had, I'm glad, and I don't think this is proud vanity, it's not spoilt me. But the temptation, of course, is not just in famine, but in times of feasting. And that was the point of the reading from Deuteronomy. During times of abundance, it can be possible to be forgetting the Lord our God. What's the perspective on all situations that we face that Satan will bring our way, whether it's through the humdrum of life or through sharp incidences? Jesus faced them each time consistently with the word of God. All of them from the book that Adrian read from, Deuteronomy. From the word of God, as each temptation comes along, it seems to be the case that there is an answer for it. It could well be as simple. I'm sure some of you have got Bibles at home, produced even today from the Gideons, and in the back you'll see a list of helps. I can even remember as a young Christian turning these things up. Oh, there's guidance for this, that, and the other. I got a bit frustrated when the problem I had, I looked it up and it kind of wasn't there. Sometimes it is just as simple, well, this is the answer to that. More often than not, it's going to be a lot harder to discern exactly what the word of God is for you in that situation. Maybe ask someone else who's been through it. Maybe listen to Bible teaching. Certainly be reading the scriptures yourself. Certainly don't avoid being under God's word, for who else or what else will you be under? Tossed and turned by all sorts of temptations, without the word of God to keep you secure and strong. The purpose of these trials and difficulties is spiritual power. It will happen to each of us at pinch points, desert experience. Some will be acute at various times of our life. But the answer for us all is the perspective of God's word. I wonder what that thing was you were thinking of at the start of the service before I prayed. What's the perspective on God's word on that particular situation? Do you know it intuitively? Do you feel able to share with someone else? Could you go praying and reflecting and thinking, well, what is God saying to me in this? That just like Jesus, who withstood up to this temptation in its severe kind, I can receive God's word. Jesus, it seems to me, in this particular passage, not only gives us a pattern to follow, but if we're led in the way of Christian teaching in all its fullness, he gives us something to participate in. So if I could read in a moment from the Book of Common Prayer, which I remember referring to a few weeks ago. This is actually quite profound theology, and without giving you a theology lecture, the Eastern Orthodox Church focuses on this body of teaching a lot more than the Western Orthodox Church does, although Cranmer, who wrote the prayer book, does give it a little bit of airing now. It's from the words of the Litany. It's profoundly encouraging, and if we get this, you will be enabled to withstand, as we've prayed, the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. It comes from the phrases in the prayer book that's also used in other parts of liturgy in the Church of England called the Litany. And so it has these words: by the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity, and circumcision, by thy baptism, now wait for it, and by thy fasting and temptation, good Lord, deliver us. The prayer is that by what Jesus went through, we can be delivered. It's fine if we see it as an example or a pattern to follow, and so we should. But this prayer assumes that what happened to him can in some senses also be happening to us as we participate in his life. Lord, by all that's happened to you, may that deliver me. And so the wind today blowing around us, I've seen trees fallen over, I've seen litter bins strewing rubbish and storms everywhere, all over Tunbridge. But the wind, steady not to laugh on a joke that I could say, should not be without, it should be within, okay? Oh, I'm full of wind today. Greater is he who's within you than he who's within the world. Whatever the temptation is that's without you or within you, whatever the storms or the trials or the difficulties are, Jesus Christ can be within you, and by his temptation in the wilderness, deliver us from the difficulties and experiences that we are facing. He's not just an example to follow, he's an energy within. We can participate in his very nature. So the prayer at the beginning of the service I'll end with: how will you resonate with this prayer in your own heart and life? Will you invoke Jesus to deliver you, to enable you to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil? Call upon his word and seek the help of his spirit day by day to withstand what's predictable, boring, and is going to happen, and seek the new life in Christ that you can be all the more stronger for it. After a few moments quiet, I'll lead you in a prayer now. Grant to us, your children, loving Father, grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and remain his faithful soldier and servant to the end of our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen.